This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so the Rangers yesterday with a big victory in the lottery, they get the number one pick, and that's the first time since 1965 that they've been able to do that. Last year, they got the number two. So we said, be a great time to talk to the president of the New York Rangers, John Davidson, and he joins us now. John, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing?
Good, guys. I hope everybody's well.
So far, so good. Fingers crossed. So take me inside your head. We actually saw what Dave DeBuscher felt when he got Patrick Ewing. What was your reaction when that ping pong ball popped up, Rangers?
I was sitting in my kind of a small media room I have in my home. I went to my good luck chair. And then when they got the balls going in the air, I couldn't watch. I covered my eyes. I looked away. Didn't know until my wife started screaming that the Rangers got the pick. So I was able to look, and then for one of the few times in my life, I was pretty much speechless. I didn't even know how to react, what to do, other than I just know that something like this is really a very special moment in our history, and we got lucky, and now it's up to us to take advantage and make the best of it.
Now, I'm not sure you noticed, because I'm not sure when you had your eyes closed or not, JD, but if the guy from Ernst & Young originally dropped the ping pong, and I'm wondering, when I'm watching it, I was wondering, like, is that a good omen or a bad omen? How did you take it when it happened?
We both said, good omen, you know, we're trying to, you know, when you get into a situation like this, and I'll be frank, I mean, this is just, there's nothing normal about anything right now that's going on anywhere. It's just crazy. So you expect the unexpected, but I was looking up in the sky asking for a couple of favors from my parents who are up there and things like this. This is something you just hope happens to you. You get lucky. Doesn't happen very often in life. And bang, there we are. I know when I was in St. Louis, the best pick we ever had, the highest, you know, the best lowest number, I guess, was 4. And it was Alex Pietrangelo, and he's become a great player. In Columbus, it was 3, and it was Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's having a real good run right now. He's starting to really pop and bloom. You just know the impact that these types of players can have, and this is going to be a special time for Ranger fans, for sure, for hockey in New York.
Now, I would assume, I mean, I know you, I don't know you that well, but I'd say you're probably a good poker player, but I'll ask you anyway. Are you definitely making this pick, or is there a chance you could trade it?
No, I would think, when you look at something like this, you make the trip, the pick. But you can't sit here today and say, this is what we're doing and this is who we're taking and that's that. You just can't do that. You never know what happens down the road. So there's no real rush. We're going to have a Zoom call coming up with Lafreniere. We've Zoomed all the top players primarily that are going to be in the draft, but we didn't do him because it was unrealistic that we were going to get him. So now that there's some realistic thinking to it, we'll go through the whole process, see how it goes, see what he thinks. I know he's been a Ranger fan. When he was younger, he wears number 11. He wears number 11 for a reason, as Mark Messier. So he's a young man that has terrific leadership skills, plays the game the right way. So it could be him. It could not. You know, it's up in the air, but things are looking pretty good.
Well, who does he compare to so that Ranger fans can kind of get an idea?
Yeah, that's a real good question. It's hard to answer that one. I know that in talking to our scouts and reading reports, I've never seen him live. I've seen him play on tape plenty, and I've seen him play in the World Juniors where he was just for an 18-year-old, he was out of this world in a very difficult tournament for a player that young. He doesn't have blazing speed, but he's fast enough. He's got skills. He's got passing skills. He's got great hockey sense. He's got a shot that is exceptional. He drags players into the game. He's one of those guys that the game gets going, the game gets tougher, and he brings his teammates right into the game. Those are the types of players you like to see. And so the report, and also I've been getting a lot of texts from people in the league from different organizations, guys out west who are chief scouts, saying how good he's going to be if it's him, and that they're glad that if we take him, that he's going to be in the east, not the west, that type of thing. So this is it's been a heck of a day, considering we went 0-3 in our play up in Toronto. This has been some week from down to up, and just unexpected in some ways, but gratifying.
I'm going to ask you a silly question, but maybe give an answer. So you guys were 0-3. It was a disappointment. You don't make the quote-unquote playoffs. Would you have rather made the playoffs and lost in the first round and not gotten the first pick, or would you rather it the way it happened?
You know what? It just, the way it happened is the way it happened. And we knew going in, the unknown was there, what to expect. Can you find the mojo that you had when we had the pause hit us? And then when you try to analyze, I'm one of those guys that, yeah, we're disappointed 0-3, but what good happened there? Well, the good part was some of our young players like Howden and Capo, they were terrific. The other thing is that people may not understand, but we had Keandre Miller, the big young defenseman out of Wisconsin, come to our training camp. He was not eligible to play in Toronto, but he made us walk out of there with a smile. This guy is a big man who can really skate. And the first day of the camp, he was nervous, real nervous. He almost, if you were taking a pass from him, you needed a lacrosse stick to catch the puck up in the air. But after that first day, he just settled right in, and he was terrific. So we got that out of it. So there was good things that happened, even though the big picture was not good. Yeah, when you go 0-3 and you're the first team out, that was disappointing. But, you know, and then with just whatever happens, here we are a few days later, and boom, we did just a gigantic surprise. A special shout out to the to Officer McDonald, his family, for letting us use the shield, the police shield. That was awesome. And sat on my desk most of the day yesterday, and then Jeff Gorton took it into the room and had it with him when the process was happening. So for that to happen, it was special.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back to the series, after Game 3, Kreider said he felt, and some of the other players felt, that it was such a gut punch, giving up the first goal a minute and 1 second in, and then losing Jesper Fast. Do you think that that had an effect beyond just Kreider and the rest of the team?
You know, I think the injury to Shesterkin, and Hank played pretty good, but the injury to Shesterkin, he had the groin injury, couldn't play in the first two. Jesper Fast gets nailed early, and he's out of the tournament within a couple of minutes. You had Lemieux, who was suspended for the first two games, lesson learned. When he played in Game 3, he played very well. D'Angelo had a hamstring injury, couldn't play near what he was able to play. So you start adding all this stuff up. It tells you, A, we didn't have the depth that a really good team would have, the big teams, but we're building that. That's part of what we're going through right now. And we know that as you try to get better and climb up that mountain, the depth means a lot when you get into games like this. So that told us something. I think that also we've had some Zoom calls and things with players, and one thing they're talking a lot about is they felt better in Game 3 than they did the first two games. And so we have to figure out why. What was it that could have been done differently to make them feel better starting in Game 1? One thing is experience. I mean, the Carolina team, when the puck was dropped, they were hungry, ready to go. But remember, they had 14 players on that team that had been in the Final Four last season. So they were experienced more than we will. More than we were. We had a number of players that was their first ever playoff-like experience. So I get that out of it too. When we get into it next year and we get into a playoff run or into the playoffs, if it happens, we'll have a lot more experience of what to expect as a team. And the only way you get that is to go through it. So that was something that hopefully we can build on too.
We're talking with John Davidson, the president of the Rangers. Before we let you go, John, since the letter was sent out by the organization, you weren't there at that point. You guys have been very, very patient in this rebuild. When you get a jolt like this and you could possibly have a potentially superstar player coming in, do you and Jeff accelerate the pace and say, let's do this now. Let's make moves now to win?
Well, it's you always try to make moves that are going to help you win long term. You don't want to make moves that are going to say, okay, it's going to make us better for this next one season, and then you've given up something to do that, and then that disappears. So I think we as management fully understand that this number one pick is going to be just a big boom. This is going to be unbelievable for us. But we're still in that process, and we've only been a couple of years in it. And guys, I don't mean to, but I'm bringing it up anyway. I went through it in St. Louis. I went through it in Columbus. And I know that you take steps forwards, then you're going to step into a pothole. It's just what happens. Then you got to get yourself out of that pothole and keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep driving north. Keep trying to build. I used to say in Columbus, you build one brick at a time. Well, we got an unbelievable brick yesterday as we try to build this franchise. But I know, and with myself in charge, our decisions are going to be based on trying to win a championship, and it's going to be a long-term decision as opposed to let's just be competitive and see what happens. It takes a certain amount of patience. It takes a certain amount of time. When we win, when we get to it, there's going to be some players playing on that team that aren't even here yet. Maybe they've been drafted, but we have to go through that, getting these players ready to go. That's what it is. That's the way it's going to be. And some people may just get impatient, but I'm not. I've been through it. I know how it works.
And John,
so I think good things are ahead of us.
Where do we stand with Hank?
I had a good chat with him when we got off the plane out of Toronto. It was a decision that he and I, a discussion he and I had. We're going to continue with the dialogue. He's gone home back to Sweden. His representative, Donnie Meehan's a good man. So we're going to talk and see where we go. We've made it clear to everyone, we're not going to carry three goalies next year. So we got to figure out what we're going to do. We're going to figure it out with all our goalies, keep the communication open. And we've just started getting into that process now. So this will take some time. And be respectful to everyone.
You know, you're a good man. You're a family man. How much does heart play into this, or does it have to be a cold business decision?
No, I think whenever you make decisions, you can make decisions the right way. The one thing about, we've got two very young goalies, and we have one goalie that's probably, I would think, a future Hall of Famer. So you have to have reality, honesty, compassion, do things the right way, and we'll get to that, and we'll get to it the right way. I can tell you that regarding all of our guys, that we have as management, as you say, I've played before. I know what I had to retire at 27 because my body decided it was time. Father time or injuries or whatever it is, catch up to people along the way. So we just have to deal with this. Is Hank's time now? Is it not? We have to get to that point and discuss it and figure it out, do things the right way and do things that are appropriate and right for the players involved and also for the franchise itself. It's a balancing act, but we'll make sure whatever happens, we're going to do it the right way.
Do you know what you want to do, and does he know what he wants to do, and you guys just haven't announced it, or is it fluid and something that's still to be decided?
No. It's still a discussion. It's ongoing. We're going to have discussions down the road here, probably sooner than later, and discuss all options. And Hank's a player. He's been a healthy player his whole career, which is a good thing. So we'll discuss and see what his thoughts are and try to make some decisions as it becomes very clear for us.
Good stuff. Congratulations on winning the lottery. Maybe a good portent of things to come. We appreciate you coming on as always, John.
Oh, my pleasure. All the best, guys. Take care. Stay safe. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.